Hi, it's Joseph Valente here, and we are back with another episode of Trade Secrets. But today, we're giving you some special, special treatment with me and Chris together on the show. How are you doing, Chris?
Very well, thank you. Good to be here. Looking forward to doing another Trade Mastermind Trade Secrets podcast.
We've been trying to get this off the ground for quite some time now. For those of you watching, we've invested £50,000 in a new studio, so we are going to be coming at you every single week. So we are the founders of Trade Mastermind, and so we wanted to do a special, almost founders podcast.
We did, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, at the beginning of growing this business, we used to do a lot of content together, and it's becoming rarer and rarer that we're seen on screen together, I think. So it's trying to get back to the basis of what we built this company from, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, you know, through lockdown, we spent quite a lot of time doing live virtuals and seminars, didn't we?
Yeah, hours.
Because we've got loads of, like, you know, we've matured, and now we're like 4 and 1, so we're both getting better with age. But if you go back to those, you know, that one Bully Davey that we did, I mean, yeah, I know the greatest, absolutely savage. For any 35-year-old men out there that are going through what we're going through, you know, just starting to green out. And I don't know, it's a tough one to deal with.
The last 4 years have been a bit more of a rapid pace, I think.
You know what's scaring me, though, is I'm actually getting them at the front. Like, there's quite a lot that are appearing here now. I mean, the sides are okay because I shaved mine out. But when they're coming through the fringe, you can't shave the fringe.
I'm getting them on my chest. I'm getting them on my chest.
What, great.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Anyway.
The stresses of running a coaching business.
So listen, you know, we know the majority of the people watching this podcast admit. So you're either been what we're going through, you're going through what we're going through, or you're about to go what we're going through at some point. But let's get back to business. So this podcast between me and Chris, I think, is just a great way for us to be able to connect back with our customers. I know we're doing unfinished business as the show, and we run ads, and, you know, we're behind the scenes working very hard. But this gives us an opportunity to talk directly to the construction sector, the trade businesses, you know, make sure we're sharing value. But this isn't just going to be a boring training session. We don't want it to just be about training. We want it to be about, you know, you can see the founders behind the business, our personalities, our styles, and so much more. And we probably bring some guests on together so we can kind of mix it up. This is the first one where we're together, but maybe like a 2-4 setup.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just generally, there's a lot going on in the industry. And, you know, more than anything, it's just it's good to provide an insight across, you know, shared opinion and just discuss topics and things. So I think it's just a good opportunity for us to discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. And have some fun. You know, that's more important. It's have some fun. We like to have fun. So let's have a look through some of this content and see what we can talk about you guys are going to enjoy. And I think one of the most exciting things going on in the UK right now is the solar industry. We are seeing, you know, huge waves of electricians joining our business because they want to learn how to get out of this reactive model and get into the direct sales and installation of these big solar jobs. And of course, why not? They're so lucrative. You know, we know business well. And if you're going to chase anything, it's high ticket, high margin, not this small reactive stuff.
It's just less work. It's the philosophy that I like, that we like to teach, is to do the least amount of work for the most amount of profit. So then you can scale the work. And, well, you know, 120 jobs a year as opposed to 120 jobs a month is going to get you probably £2 million turnover in business.
Absolutely.
With a 20 to a 25% bottom line. So, you know, it's as hard to sell. In reality, it's as hard to have a system that acquires an hour's worth of kind of sales price revenue related thing as it is a £15,000 one. It might not seem it, but you need the same systems in place to do the whole thing. So you may as well land a deal that's worth £15,000 to you as opposed to 50 quid.
I was talking to one of our customers in one of our academy groups, Renewables, actually the other day, and he said, "Hi everyone, just can I have some help? I want to put my prices up on our hourly rate." And he was saying, you know, on average each year, we put them up by 8%. Yeah. And I said back in the group, because he's come to learn how to build a solar business. But you do realize that 8% on £70 is like £6.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and you're probably not even beating inflation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But this is £6. So we got businesses that are thinking about price rises of £70 an hour. And I said to him, don't forget why you're here. You're here to chase solar deals, not worry about getting an extra £6 out of an hour. Because if you can only get an extra £6, the reality is, you know, in how expensive it is to run a construction business, what are you going to do with that £6? You know, and it's not easy to snap out of that business model that you may have been doing for quite some time and get into, you know, this new way of doing business, this thinking bigger, this big order value stuff and try to conceptualize it. But it's absolutely the way to go.
Most people haven't even done that work to figure out how much profit they could make from those type of jobs. You know, it's a good exercise to do to figure out if you are just selling hourly skilled man labor kind of units as such, if you're just selling hourly rates and you take one guy and he works every single hour that he possibly can for you across a month and has maximum output minus his cost to do it, you're not making much money at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, for all the effort that it takes to get the business in the first place, to manage the jobs, to, you know, deal with the problems that naturally come with that type of work within the construction space, it's just painful.
I think if I remember, like, when I first started Infra and going through that journey, for me it was like, this is what everybody must do. So you almost just start doing that work and thinking that taking more of it must be the solution, because we're never trained at the beginning to learn about the numbers. And then we advertise so many different services that we create so much chaos, you can't get under the numbers. But what everybody's got to remember is business is all about numbers. And, you know, how difficult it was for us to be able to measure and track what these hourlies actually contribute to.
Mm.
It's simple as one person, but as an engineer and hiring lots of engineers and trying to make a little bit on top of the hourly rate, it just doesn't work in construction because there's so much that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I met this billionaire a few months ago and he had a £4 billion organization. And I said to him, right, listen, give me some advice. Tell me how you scale to this level. Because, you know, being around people that think big, guys, is very, very important. And it's like, it becomes contagious and it takes time for it to rub off. But if you spend enough time with people that are talking big, hopefully it levels you up if you want to level up. But one of his pieces of advice was cut the cake.
Yeah.
So it can be shared out. Yeah. But imagine a trades business that's selling on an hourly or on a small ticket job. What cake have you got to cut? You got a fucking cupcake. Yeah. So if you do a solar job, you've got a wedding cake, haven't you? It's £15,000 versus £100 job. So there are many slices that can carve out and everybody can get a piece. And what most trade businesses miss, and, you know, it took us a long time to learn this as we went through Impra, but it became this cost of acquiring a customer. Because most people don't see that, and that's why they wait for the phone to ring, and they think word of mouth is what gets you a business. But in actual fact, you buy customers.
Mm.
That's what marketing is. And if there is, you know, that being one slice of cake, and 10% of what you sell the product for on average is one slice of cake. So imagine 100% is the cake. Yeah, 10% of that is just your marketing cost. That's one slice gone. An engineer might be 30% of the cake gone, you know. The commission to sell it, 20% gone. Materials, 50% gone. So in actual fact, the last bit of cake you've got left as the owner is about 10%. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you've got your overheads, your insurance, your fuel and everything else, that cake's left with a few crumbs at the bottom, and then your net profit is, you know, a few crumbs, or there's nothing left to eat. And so business models are very, very important. And I think that's why, you know, we've been so successful building this business, is because we've made sure that we teach you how to bake the right cake. And, you know, not just a nice tasting cupcake, but a big fucking wedding cake.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Right, okay, cool. So in this section of the podcast, we want to talk about some industry stuff. What's going on in the industry? And one of the biggest things that we see that will be a problem for our business, a problem for your business, and a problem for the UK as a whole, is the shortage of trades coming into the sector. And, you know, hopefully we find a way to inspire the youth to come up, or we find a way to retrain people that are going to, you know, maybe get taken out by AI, because it's quite clear that there's going to be lots of skills in the market that AI is going to replace.
Yeah.
And, you know, the trade and construction hopefully is going to be the last one that AI sort of takes over. You'd expect it because it's very physical.
Yeah, the skilled. I mean, I think we're far away from AI being able to, well, you never know, but I think we're far away from AI and robotics kind of from taking away kind of any construction jobs and trades.
You see it on social media, don't you, quite often, where there's like a little shot of like a machine like screening a floor or laying some
3D printing a house.
Yeah, or 3D printing the cement.
I think the style of construction in the UK specifically means that it's too difficult for robotics to take over. And until it becomes the norm and the standards that more modern methods of construction take over, I think that industry's safe from AI. And, you know, that's not to be said for white collar professions like accountants, solicitors, stuff like that. Their revenue that they're losing at the moment is tangible to AI. They're losing a lot of bottom line. And I think that does lead the way for the cyclical thing of more people, youngsters coming back into the industry. So, I'm hoping naturally that does happen. But the other big thing that needs to happen is central government support in the industry. It doesn't get it the way that it needs it. The government,
because it's not enough of a business, is it? The university is a business. And if you've got
absolutely
about you, after a period of time, you realize that what's been ingrained in the youngsters and the parents is that you're a failure if you do anything but go to university. And that's simply not true. And in actual fact, trades now, I think that over the next 10 years, trades are going to be where the new multimillionaires are at. And being a tradesman, you're going to be making, on the tools, six figures, 100K plus, quarter of a million a year, just working for someone. Because it's going to become a simple supply and demand issue.
Absolutely.
There's no trades coming in to do it. And I know for many trades out there, it might not seem like that right now in some areas, because you're always competing on price and on some stuff. But, there's loads of things we can teach you how to overcome that. But the fact is, when the tradespeople aren't there, we're going to be able to put our price in that. It's not good for the homeowner, but it's great for the business owner. And
I don't know if I agree with that. I think it is good for the homeowner. And my reason being is because people don't always understand what it is that they're getting when the business owner or the person offering the service isn't good at convincing them of the value.
Yeah.
So typically what the customer goes for is the cheapest, because all they've got to make a decision on is the price.
Yeah.
And what happens when we go with the cheapest?
It messes up.
And I think business owners getting trained properly within the construction industry is the best thing that can happen for the construction industry and for the consumers and users. Let's be honest. There is a stigma within the construction industry and of tradespeople that there's this, cowboy builder thing. And it's because there's a lack of business education that people that are doing it the wrong way are allowed to succeed in the industry. So I don't agree that it's bad for the consumer. I think people actually end up paying for what it is they should pay for and getting what they deserve.
I remember from dealing with certain buying groups and merchants that were part of buying groups, they had kind of this policy where they all had to sign a thing saying that we won't undercut each other on the price.
Yeah.
So there's like a minimum viable price of what this job can be done for. And in actual fact, some sort of trade body where, people sign up to say we won't go below a 40% margin because it's crippling the sector
would
maybe be a good thing for people. and you know, maybe make some stuff happen. But look, we know Charlie Mullins very, very well, and his business was built on advertising that they were most expensive.
Yeah.
And want to get it done right. We know he's moving back into the industry after selling his business for $140 million, nine figures, you know, after creating an incredible brand. That they're only doing that because they see a big opportunity. But it goes to show the most successful business, really, independent business that sold ever was Charlie Mullins in construction. And he's done that by not being the cheapest. He's done that by being a lucrative business, or it isn't sustainable.
Providing the value.
Yeah.
It's the biggest misconception, I think, in the industry. And that's people want the cheapest consumers. Yeah. They don't. They want good value for money. You just have to convince the consumer that there's value in what it is that you're selling. You have to provide.
I think he's convincing the business owner as well, isn't it? That they actually are valuable.
100%.
We've seen a lot of people over this time where, let's say, for example, you don't have a branded van, you don't wear branded shirts, you know, you're not brand heavy, and you are price focused and quote kind of price and technical heavy, making it about quality of work. There's a period, it could be of 1 month to 12 months, where you have to transition into being a well-branded, well-reputable, you know, shiny front-end business that people may find it difficult as they start to increase their prices to believe that customers will pay more. But first and foremost, it does believe, like in any sales role, the salesperson has to believe in the price and they have to believe in the product to be able to sell it.
Yeah.
Assuming if you don't believe in your own brand and your own worth and your own product, your own service, you're never going to sell it. And, you know, we started this business of our training business as £1,000 an hour coaching business. And now the average cost of our training programs is £25,000. Why? Because we've evolved the product to a 1 year product. So you don't just get an hour anymore, you get a year. But in actual fact, it's because the value of the product commands, okay, a higher price tag, because on average our businesses get 400% return on investment. So they put in £25,000 and they're getting, you know, a huge amount out the back end. Businesses go from a couple of hundred thousand a year to $1 million, you know, within 12 months. And
yeah,
people want to pay for quality of training. And we're always looking to increase prices alongside increased value, not just increase prices. But if we didn't increase prices, we wouldn't be able to keep scaling. You can't scale your business selling paperclips if you want to be a national company or a bigger business. You've got to evolve the model and evolve the opportunity.
I mean, I think the key point is that we've never sold anything to anybody based upon where they're at or what they can afford. We've always sold the value and of what it is that we sell and the knowledge that we give to people on what it is that we can make them.
Yeah.
And the results speak for themselves. If you know how to do something the right way, it's worth a lot of money.
Absolutely. And that's what I think has been so exciting about this business, is changing the business's perception of how to do business. Getting them out of, you know, being an all the tools delivering mindset to a how to be a business builder mindset. And it's been a really, really good journey. So I want to talk a little bit about content in the social media sector. Yeah. And the window of opportunity that all of you watching this to start your own YouTube channels, to start your own podcasts. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've seen account blowing up on social, specifically one that I think of as I'm talking right now is the guy that goes and cuts people's grass for free. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting millions and millions of views. He's just going along there, he's knocking on the door saying, do you want your grass cut? I mean, he's looking for overcooked stuff. And 1 billion views on YouTube will pay you very, very well as you build up and get sponsorship and all of this type of stuff. So there's a business in the content. And I'm sure it's you know, blowing up his business as well.
I heard that trade jobs, construction jobs, something like cutting grass, is perfect for viral content.
Yeah.
Because it's this concept of there's a promise of a payoff at the end of the video.
Yeah.
So people typically stay to the end of the video to see the result.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better for that than in construction.
I've
if you're building something or putting something together, it's a look at what it is I've created.
Is it, have you seen that DIY dad?
No.
There's this dad that's like retired. He just started making, his daughter kept asking him how to do stuff. And then he like started making videos of, this is how you plumb in a washing machine. This is how you...
I think I might have seen him actually.
...sure in a tap. This is how you wire up a plug or change a light bulb. I mean, he's like the most basic of content, but he's doing millions and millions and millions of views. And the opportunity right now is massive. It's absolutely massive. But naturally, and this is an advantage, not a disadvantage, is that most construction business owners, they don't make content because it's completely out of their comfort zone. So you've got the likes of the board builders and the home renovation channel that are, you know, pulling in huge amounts of followers and views and so on and so forth, because they aren't afraid to do it and they're effectively getting all of the eyeballs because there's not many people doing it. You know, it's like in North Korea, yeah? They've got one TV channel. So everybody watches the one TV channel because there ain't many TV channels. So in construction right now, it's like the UK in the 1990s where there was only three channels. You're splitting all of that audience views into a third, a third, a third. Yeah, so if you want to become like the UK in the 1990s or
Kim Jong Il,
the next Kim Jong Il, which is of the construction industry, then my advice is
start a TikTok channel.
Start a TikTok channel. Make sure on YouTube. Yeah. Okay, awesome. Good stuff. So I think that kind of brings this episode to a little bit of a close. Yeah, it's been good to be back making content with you, Chris.
Yeah, it's been good. Good to be here.
Good man. And yeah, we are going to be doing this once a week alongside lots of other episodes going out. And again, as we continue to grow this channel, grow this podcast, I think what's important is that we get you guys to come down, you know, and you can sit here with us and you can be part of this show. I think that'll be quite fun. You know, get to meet everybody that watches us, supports us, and get to know our sector a little bit better. So I tell you what would be quite fun, actually, and probably is not going to, is go for like an eight-man podcast.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So it's me and you, and then there's like eight, and then there's like lots of our trade customers first, and then people that are watching this that aren't. But just like a big panel discussion.
Yeah, that would
be quite good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And then we're getting a trade mastermind beer made, and there'll be a trade mastermind bar here at our studio. So
you guys, TM Brewery.
And you can have a beer on trade mastermind and come and have a beer with us and come and have a chat with the show. I think that'd be pretty cool. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will see you all next week.
See you next week, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Mastermind Trade Secrets podcast. If you want to find out how Trade Mastermind can help you further, head to our website trademastermind.co.uk and don't forget to like and subscribe.